So, of course, today is all about kings. The three wise men who are sometimes thought of as kings, King Herod, and, of course, King Jesus with his family, still an infant. In the tradition of the church, Epiphany is thought to be the time in which all kings recognize and bow down to Jesus. Kings throughout the world of every land and every nation. That's what these three wise men represent. But as I was thinking about it, I had to step back a little bit because, you know, in our culture, we don't have kings anymore. We don't follow a king. A king doesn't rule or guide us. We're a democracy. But leaders we have of different kinds. Every group needs a leader. Congregations need leaders. Families need leaders. Yes, nations and cities need leaders. Organizations, fire halls, VFWs, garden clubs, all of them need a leader. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about a maxim somebody told me recently and that I've heard then several times, which is that groups over the long haul tend to take on the personality of their leader, which is something to think about. I think it's maybe, as just a maxim, it's a little bit too clean, not necessarily the case that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, one congregation decides to take on the personality of its pastor. But it's, you know, if you think about it, there's some truth to it. Think about the old proverb, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? If you have a leader who does not value the truth, for example, if you have a leader that regularly lies, it's not necessarily the case that all of a sudden the group that he or she is leading is going to start lying. Some people will, but the people who value truth within that group are all of a sudden going to, will over time develop a certain kind of suspicion about what they're being told. And so the idea in which you can tell truth and have it be believed, the value of honesty gets kind of confused or disordered within that group. The entire group takes on a characteristic in which truth is kind of a moving target and nobody knows really what's what anymore. By contrast, if you have a leader that values integrity, even things that don't go well can happen within that group, but the leader will encourage the entire group, committee, family, nation, whatever, to deal with those problems openly and honestly. And so trust within the group builds, and it becomes more able and flexible to deal with its problems. I was thinking about that. And then I took another look at our text, the story from Matthew about the three wise men going to visit the baby Jesus, and I came across the line about one king that is features prominently in that story, Herod. And what does the text say? Well, Herod was frightened when he heard the news about a king being born and his rising star. Herod was a king, not really a king in the way we typically think of kings. He was more of a puppet king. He got all of his power from Rome, the big Roman Empire that governed and controlled the known world at that time to the people who knew Jesus. They had installed Herod as a kind of puppet, and Herod liked his little territory. So much so, it was said, that he killed three of his sons in a quest to keep his power. In fact, the emperor of Rome, Caesar, had said that he would have preferred to have been Herod's pig than be his son, because so jealous and fearful and frightened of any kind of contest was this particular king. Now, as you might imagine, this did not make Herod popular at all. If there had been Gallup polls 2,000 years ago, Herod's popularity rating would have been hovering maybe about 27%. Nobody liked him because nobody wanted to follow a jealous and fearful king. But groups take on the personality of their leaders. And so what does our text say? When Herod heard what the wise men said, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. All Jerusalem caught up, ensnared in the dynamics of a fearful, frightened, and frightening, violent leader. It's worth paying attention to that little line, I think, because it sets off what happens when the wise men go to see the real king, Jesus. When they follow the star and get to the house where the child is with his mother and Joseph. What happens then when the star stops? The story tells us they were overwhelmed with joy. But that rendering, they were overwhelmed with joy, doesn't actually even really capture what Matthew wants to say with that line. I know you all don't come here for Greek lessons, which is the original language of the Bible, but hang with me for just a second. The way that line actually goes is, if you were to translate directly from the Greek, is when they see that the star is stopped, the wise men rejoiced a really big joy, exceedingly so. I'm serious, that's the literal translation. It is awkward even in the original. It's as if Matthew can't find the words to describe what happens when the wise men are in the presence of the real king. There's just joy. Joy so big that it can't be put into words. Joy as big as the sky itself, as far away as that star was. Groups take on the personality of their leader. And in the presence of the real king, the delegation from the east experience joy. Now, joy, of course, is not happiness as we traditionally think of it. Joy is rather, in the scriptures, joy is something that comes with recognizing what God is at work doing. It is looking at the humble character of the birth of Jesus, his poor mother. It's recognizing that God's work is to lift up the lowly. God's work is to break into the world with mercy and forgiveness. God's work is to gather families, people together in a spirit of humility and grace. God's rule is gentle. These are the things that bring joy. Not the power-mongering success of a Herod. Rather, all of the things that you might be able to say about a gentle child with his parents living a calm and quiet and godly life. These are the things that the true leader brings. And in the face of this, the wise men experience great joy, overwhelmingly so, exceedingly so, because groups take on the personality of their leader. So what might this mean for us? Well, I think it may be worth pondering whether there are times in which that phrase, "and all Jerusalem with him," applies to us. Whether there are times, because we live in a world right now that is caught up in fear and divisiveness, whether we sometimes allow ourselves to get so caught up in that spirit. And moreover, I think it might be the good news for us that God sends Jesus into a world precisely where that happens, precisely where all Jerusalem is frightened, where all Butler sometimes can get frightened, where our houses can get caught up in dynamics that aren't necessarily healthy. This is the world into which Jesus comes, and he comes for you, and he comes for me. And he is our bright leading star who comes with mercy and grace and forgiveness, who teaches a way of humility and building up one another, so much so that he's willing to go to a cross and through to an empty tomb for us. He will not surrender that form of rule because it is fearless, not fearful, but fearless, even in the face of death. And he comes again for you and for me to lead us and guide us. And so the question is, who is our leader? And how will we take on his personality? There is a wonderful poem written by Anne Weems, who sometimes is called the Presbyterian Poet Laureate. I just offer that to you. Make of that what you will. Her name is Anne Weems, and she wrote a book of poems called Kneeling in Bethlehem. And this was her one about the wise men, and it is called The World Still Knows. The night is still dark, and a procession of Herods still terrorize the earth, killing the children to stay in power. The world still knows its Herods, but it also still knows men and women who pack their dreams safely into their hearts and set off toward Bethlehem, faithful against all odds, undeterred by fatigue or rejection, to kneel to a child. And the world still knows those persons wise enough to follow a star, those who do not consider themselves too intelligent, too powerful, too wealthy to kneel to a child. And the world still knows those hearts so humble that they're ready to hear the word of a song and to leave what they have to go to kneel to a child. The night is still dark, but by the light of the star, even today, we can still see to kneel to a child. May we also kneel. Amen.